Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 49 degrees under overcast skies with light winds reported at the Rocky Gutierrez Airport. Today's Thursday, June 28th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the Affordable Care Act, also known as health care reform. The number of uninsured in Alaska is 125,000 state residents, or about 18%. Alaska, which is among the states that sued over the constitutionality of the federal health care law, has yet to implement a health care exchange. The health department has hired a consultant to help design one, and that report is expected soon. Republican Governor Sean Parnell is expected to take the report and the U.S. Supreme Court decision into consideration in deciding how to proceed on the health care exchange issue. Spokesman Sharon Lehow yesterday declined to comment about the contingency plans before this morning's court ruling. Rangers at the Sitka National Historical Park are warning that they found evidence of bear activity in the park yesterday. Park staff found fresh sign near the river on both the Russian Memorial Loop and the Totem Loop. There was no actual bear sighting. Karen Farley, the acting chief ranger, said it was likely the bear had simply passed through during the night. Rangers have not closed any trails, but Farley is reminding the public to remain alert when visiting the park.
Be visible, make noise, and walking in numbers is advisable. And if you encounter a bear, you just want to, not approach it and try to use an alternate route and slowly back away.
Acting Chief Ranger Karen Farley. More oyster farms are opening up in southeast Alaska. It's part of an effort to create jobs through tribal businesses in small communities. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
I'm going to be making an oyster with a rhubarb shooter. It's going to start with about a cup of water, a third of a cup of brown sugar. So a simple syrup is one cup of water.
Robert Canine creates a unique taste blend using a common southeast plant and shellfish straight from the farm. The noted seafood chef shared his recipes during Oyster Fest, held alongside the Southeast Native Cultural Event Celebration 2012. Canine wants to encourage his fellow Alaskans to try out and experiment with oysters.
While they're not indigenously found here, I think it's a great opportunity to grow a beautiful flavored specimen. I mean, they're just amazing, nice, crisp, clean, subtle flavors. They're just really, really tasty, very subtle on the brine, and I mean, they're just really amazing.
Canine has been chef of the Seven Glaciers restaurant at the Alyeska Resort, also in downtown Anchorage and other popular spots. He's Klinkit, originally from Petersburg, with family ties to Sitka. He works with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and is part of a region-wide effort to promote oysters from tribally owned shellfish farms.
The Alaska brand, the mystique behind the Alaska brand, always creates market opportunity for you.
Russell Dick is president and CEO of Ha'ani LLC. That's the Sea Alaska Corporation subsidiary developing new Southeast businesses, including oyster farms.
Everything we have in production today could get sold into the Alaska market easily. And, you know, as we look to expand, we certainly want to reach out in the other domestic markets and potentially internationally if the logistics make sense and the economics make sense.
Sea Alaska doesn't own oyster farms, but the Juneau-based Regional Native Corporation has formed partnerships with shareholders and tribal governments in Yakutat, Cake, Angoon, and Heidelberg. It's not easy work.
Sometimes it's hard to get up and go out there because it's blowing 40, 50 knots and it's snowing.
Joy Klushkin left her job as business manager of Yakutat School District to become an oyster farmer. That was 2 years ago.
I'm still in shock when I come up to a table and I see they're my oysters. I'm like telling my husband, take a picture. I can't believe that those are my oysters.
Klushkin has about a half million of the valuable shellfish growing in her farm. She just made her first delivery of around 25,000 to Ha'ani's Oyster Fest. She and two other farms share an island about a 5-minute skiff ride out of Yakutat's boat harbor. There's a lot of regional cooperation.
We've actually learned a lot and got a lot of information from others. It seems to be an industry that everybody is excited to promote.
Cindy Bremner is president and CEO of Yaktatquan, the community's village native corporation. It just harvested its first oysters and hopes to produce as many as 3 million a year.
So it's not like they don't want to share what they know with us because we're going to have a better oyster. It's an industry that seems to support each other is what I've felt, and it makes it exciting.
The farms take young oysters, called spat, and grow them until they can be sold. That can take from 2 to 3 years, depending on a variety of factors. Spat comes from nurseries. Cake has one, and Sea Alaska's Ha'ani subsidiary recently signed an agreement with Heidelberg's tribal government to build another on Prince of Wales Island. Ha'ani's Russell Dick says marketing is also part of the job.
As these continue to mature and grow out and they produce these high-quality oysters, our role then becomes ensuring that we can find the market outlet and the best market outlet that provides the highest margin for the farmers.
So far, they've been sold to restaurants and grocers in Southeast and Anchorage.
You want to try some oysters?
Back at Oyster Fest, Chef Rob Kanin is passing around a tray of half shells with his rhubarb ginger topping. The taste is new to many, including farmers in attendance.
I ate my first oyster just the other day, so it was very, very good, but I had nothing to compare it against.
Yaktatquan's Cindy Bremner was among those tasting raw, grilled, seasoned, and other oysters during the Shellfish Festival.
I decided I better try one since we're in the oyster business, so I'm going to be excited to try them numerous different ways.
These are not the only shellfish farms in Southeast. In addition to oysters, little neck and geoduck clams have been grown and sold. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
You can see a slideshow of Oysterfest photos on our website, kcaw.org. There's also information on other shellfish farming in the region. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provided some of the Oysterfest audio included in this story. The early reviews are positive for equipment installed at the Crystal Lake Hatchery on Mitkoff Island, 18 miles south of Petersburg. Last year, the hatchery installed a heat exchanger to provide warmer water for young salmon. As Alexis Kenyon reports, it will be a few more years before anyone knows for certain if the project has worked.
During spring, Crystal Lake Hatchery releases over 500,000 king salmon into the water. And in the summer, the hatchery needs at least 1,000 salmon to swim back. These salmon will ensure the spawning for future generations. But in recent years, the Crystal Lake Hatchery has had less than the amount they need return. They have had to look to other hatcheries in Juneau and Baranof to make up for the salmon shortfall. Hatchery manager Lauren Thompson says there are a number of causes for low salmon runs.
You know, it could be environmental. It could be something we've done here.
Another cause could be very cold hatchery water.
You know, maybe they had a bad winter and, you know, sometimes their immune system takes a beating over the winter and they just don't go out in good shape if the water's real cold. You know, a lot of it has to do with the real cold winters that we're having. We're not able to get them up to size. Our water was just above freezing. This heat exchanger is actually countering that to a certain. We're getting about 6.5 degree water.
Last year, the hatchery decided to install a heat exchanger. The machine pumps water into the hatchery from nearby Blind Slough. It then takes the sea level slough water and uses it to warm up water from Crystal Lake. That's the mountaintop reservoir perched 1,300 feet above the hatchery and where the hatchery gets its water. The heat exchanger cost about $150,000, and Thompson says he thinks it was well worth the investment.
They look way better than what we've seen in years past. It just looks like they're eating. They're growing every week. We do a sample weight on them every week. And if you look, they just look well fed, too. So,
what about them makes them look well fed?
They're fat. It's really something we're not used to seeing. You know, we're used to seeing kind of skinny ones that are struggling to eat.
The hatchery will release these young salmon next May when they reach about 15 or 16 grams. After that, it could take anywhere from 1 to 5 years for the king salmon to make their way back to the hatchery. As far as this year's returns, Thompson says they won't know until late July when the salmon start returning.
You can sit around and be nervous about it, I guess, or just let it go because it's going to be what it is in the end anyways.
A few miles downstream from the hatchery, the salmon are beginning to make their return. Glenn Lease is at Blind River Rapids and has been fishing for a few hours.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of salmon today, jumping and moving downstream and stuff. Yeah, a lot today. I'd say about a dozen.
The Department of Fish and Game have closed Blind Slough in recent years because of poor returns. this year, the rapids remain open, at least for the moment. Over the next month, the Department of Fish and Game staff will continue monitoring the waters to ensure that at least 1,000 salmon make it back to the hatchery. In Petersburg, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
The latest legal fight related to the 2010 U.S. Senate race appears to be over attorneys' fees. Senate candidate Joe Miller was a part-time attorney for the Fairbanks North Star Borough from 2002 to 2009. He had accused the borough of improperly leaking information from his personnel file during the heated 2010 Senate race, which he lost to incumbent U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. Last week, he accepted a $5,000 offer from the borough to end the case. One of the unsettled issues is that of attorney fees for the online publication The Alaska Dispatch, which other news organizations successfully sued for release of Miller's personnel file in 2010. During hearing yesterday, a judge gave attorneys for all three until July 6th to file proposed fees and allocation amounts. The annual Only Fools Run at Midnight races are being held in three Southeast Alaska communities on Saturday. The races, one of the biggest fundraisers of the year for Southeast Alaska Independent Living, will be held in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. The organization's Jordan Nigro says more than 1,000 runners participated last year. Pre-registration for this year's races ends Thursday at 5 p.m., but runners can also register the night of the races. In Sitka, you can register at First Bank or Old Harbor Books, or on Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. at the Sitka Fire Hall. The race kicks off at 11:59 p.m. on Saturday. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka: calls for showers this morning, then scattered showers in the afternoon. Highs around 56, light winds becoming southwest to 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, highs around 56, west winds 10 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.